League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the WTF1 podcast, catching up on news edition. Yes, we've got another mini summer break on our hands where, of course, with the Russian Grand Prix being cancelled, it means that we've got this period of time to reflect on just how bad Ferrari are. No, it's not just about this. Don't worry. There has been some news that we're going to take a look at. And, of course, joining me in the wonderful WTF1 podcast arena is Tom Bellingham, the WTF1 founder.
Hello.
Oh, it didn't quite match the same energy.
No,
Tommy, but it's fine. Don't worry about it. I'll hype you up, and you just you do you. But welcome, Tommy. How are you? How are you doing, mate? You good?
I'm good. Yeah, it's going to be weird having essentially a summer break again. It's a little bit shorter than the summer break, but we're not expecting. Well, if we have the same craziness as the proper summer break, then we'll be fine. But I feel like this one's going to be a bit quieter.
Yes. So let's dive into our first bit of news that we've got. And it's around the Alpine driver test. So, of course, Alpine have not exactly got the best reputation right now. They've managed to ruin their future, present and past, present and future driver lineups, yep. All in the space of around a couple of months. So Alpine are now having to do this kind of arrive and drive session at the Hungaroring this month. They've got a number of drivers lined up for it. And some of those include Antonio Giovinazzi, Jack Doohan, Nick De Vries, Colton Herta. Now, those are the four that we've got down. Do we expect any more than that, Tommy? Or is that the...
They're the ones that we've kind of heard is happening. It's all a bit secretive. I think they're missing a big chance to do a big marketing stunt. I was going to say, like, stream it on YouTube or something, and it'd be like a X Factor for Alpine F1 seat, and everyone drives around and tries to do the fastest lap possible, and whoever's fastest at the end of the day gets the seat. That would be cool.
That would actually bang.
Imagine how many people would watch that in a little break. Alpine.
Get Simon Cowell involved.
I'll be your Simon Cowell.
Yeah. Oh, will you?
Yeah, okay. I will.
Well, look, my idea. technically, I have driven a Renault Formula One car branded earlier on in this WTF1 journey. So I've got some experience as well of how to go relatively slow around half of Silverstone. So lots of experience that can be shared there. But yeah, Giovinazzi, Doohan, De Vries and Herta. When you look at that lineup,
it's very...
It's not Fernando Alonso, Oscar Piastri, no. Is it?
Finally, but Alpine have admitted they're mid.
God's sake. F1 Twitter has hit the podcast.
No, it's...
Out of that lineup, De Vries is probably the most exciting now, which is something I did not expect to say before Monza. But of course, he did an incredible job in that Williams, outperformed everybody's expectations of him turning up in the car. We were all discussing, maybe he'll beat Latifi. We certainly did not expect him to score points on his debut, but managed it. Of course, Monza being a track that's great for the Williams with the rocket ship that they tend to run for the setup of that car, even though Latifi says there's absolutely no way of overtaking in that Williams. He can defend but not attack in the Williams. I'm like, well, why don't you qualify better then? You know?
And he did. He was 10th. What happened? Yeah.
We like that. Latifi slander making its way into this pod.
Does like his Nutella thing.
He does indeed. He does indeed, Tommy. So yeah, De Vries. I don't even know who's going to be the front runner for this, because like Jack Doohan's obviously there. What was he?
He's now the essentially trainer. Next in line in terms of the Alpine Driver Academy, which means they won't promote him. Because that's, I don't know if you saw, I saw an article on The Race where there was an interview with someone from Alpine and they were like, yeah, we're keen to put Doohan in at some point, but we'd much rather him go to like Williams or something first. And I'm like, wow, you've learned nothing from the Piastri thing then. Brilliant.
They seem unwilling to roll the dice, don't they? They've got Ocon,
who's meant to be the guy that's on a big multi-year contract that is quite experienced now. He's not a new driver. So surely the second seat. And this lineup as well, which makes it even more embarrassing that they've managed to lose Fernando Alonso and Piastri, just shows that Alpine are, you know, I was joking about them being mid, but they are like, they're a midfield team. They shouldn't be a midfield team, because look at all the other manufacturers and how well they're doing. And like this whole new hybrid era essentially is such a great thing for the manufacturers. And look at the gap that Ferrari and like the Mercedes have had over the rest of the midfield. They should be doing well. And this is, you look at this lineup and you go, yeah, this is more like what Alpine should have as a driver lineup, like midfield kind of drivers. Like, I cannot believe, obviously, Nick De Vries is absolutely brilliant at Monza, but it says a lot that he is now, you look at that list and go, yeah, De Vries is your best shout. I can't believe we'd have been saying that 2 weeks ago. But no. He is the best shot, in my opinion, for that seat. You've got Giovinazzi, who, in my opinion, he had his chance to shine and he didn't.
Yeah, let's break it down. Gio, first and foremost, lovely guy. I do, you know, highly rate him as a human being.
Yeah, should have absolutely smashed a 90-year-old Kimi Raikkonen who couldn't be asked. Yeah,
I mean, Kimi Raikkonen is rocking up to most Grand Prix, just having a great little Sunday drive and then probably getting on the lash Sunday night. That's Kimi Raikkonen absolutely all over at the end of his career. The fact that Gio was not destroying him as a young, upcoming talent just tells you everything you need to know about where Gio's ceiling of potential is, for me personally.
Yeah.
I think it would be a very underwhelming signing if Alpine decided to go with Giovinazzi. Then you've got Jack Doohan, who hasn't set Formula 2 alight. He has done reasonably well in his rookie season. But again, he's not an Oscar Piastri. He's not dominating every single junior formula up until this point that you go, yeah, you've got to sign him. So that, in my opinion, is one risk. Nick De Vries, he's had a great first outing at Monza. You can't guarantee that that's going to be what he delivers week in, week out, though. As much as, you know, we can say great performance, but that's not exactly a huge bank of experience that you can just go off and go, yeah, De Vries is going to be able to develop the car. He's going to be able to work with potentially an Alpine that's not a rocket ship, and you know, there's much more to it than the Williams and whatever, but probably the favourite. And then you've got Colton Herta, which is another completely unproven different risk.
Unproven,
obviously a 7-time IndyCar race winner, I believe, doesn't have enough super license points. I don't know what the latest in that saga is.
It's not going to happen by the sound of it. They're not going to allow him to do it. Colton Herta to me screams that they're getting him in and it's almost like a way for them to kind of one up McLaren and go, huh, well, we got Herta in the end. If they get him, it's not a fair trade.
Yeah,
it's not. I do think Herta has potential, and I personally think that he should be allowed to drive in Formula One. I think the super license points are ridiculous, especially I've seen a lot of things where if you actually take the results away in oval racing, which you could argue is not really relevant to the IndyCar to a Formula One seat, the oval side of IndyCar, then Colton Herta's positions in the championship would have actually got him enough super license points. So that kind of shows that he's more that kind of specialist there. And I think I would like to see him in Formula One and see how he does, but for Alpine, it's a massive risk. De Vries seems like the best option, like you say. Doohan, for me, is too early as well. He's in his first full year of Formula 2, and he's definitely, I think he's peaking at quite a good time, really. If you look at kind of from Hungary, he finished first, retired in the sprint, second first, and then he also had a pole at Monza, but that didn't go to plan. So he is doing well, but like you say, it's not a Piastri where you go, oh my God, get this guy in F1 now. But Alpine have shown that even if you do have a guy in your seat that goes, oh my God, get this guy in F1 now, they'll go, no, give us 4 years to decide, and then we'll probably just hire some midfield driver instead. But brilliant.
I mean, it's a weird predicament. That Alpine almost got hung up on Alonso, that they forgot about the talent that's coming through a little bit, I'd say, because Ocon they've obviously committed to. Alonso, they didn't want to give too many years to, but also wanted to keep him on until Piastri was ready. But then you think, these are, like, especially Alonso, such a huge ego, that you think that Fernando's just going to sit around and have a one-year contract like Bottas did at Mercedes and just accept it. No.
He's too big for that. He's shown how good he is this year as well. Mm. It's mad that... People think that I kind of hate Ocon, which I don't. I think he's a capable driver and I think he's a good driver. I don't think he's ever going to be top tier in my opinion. Not top 10 in my book. But, but
oh no, I think, if you, he is
edges of top 10. I was just bantering. but yeah, if I think of a lineup of Alonso and Piastri, I think, oh my word, what a lineup that is. And then you think that next year, potentially they could have a lineup of Ocon and Giovinazzi. I mean, biggest downgrade in F1 history.
It's a shame. It's a massive shame. And I wouldn't be surprised if Alpine then start to tail off. You know, they're fighting McLaren for P4 in the constructors at the moment. If they have that lineup.
So many red flags as well at Alpine. Would you want to drive for them?
Yeah, well, yeah. If you're someone like Jack Doohan, absolutely.
Oh, probably, yeah, 100%. You know,
get me in that seat. But as Tommy says, unlikely that Alpine will make that junior move to the main seat. Right, moving away from Alpine shenanigans and disasters that are going on over there. As we say, Hungaroring, that's where they're doing the test in last year's car. We now move to some Ferrari news. And they've announced that Robert Schwartzman is going to be driving in FP1 for the US Grand Prix. And that's the first time Ferrari have ever put a rookie in a car. Is that correct?
Yes, because they have to.
They have been forced to.
They have literally, it is a rule. If you don't know, because I saw a lot of people replying to the initial tweet going, oh, this shows that Ferrari have just given up on the year. It's like, no, it is a mandatory rule this year that you have to put young drivers in FP1 in both cars, and not many people have done it yet.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
There's only 6 races to go.
Do you feel like maybe the last race of the season will just be a litter of rookies that, you know, and that's the thing. You had, for example, like Nick DeVries being asked to do it in more than one team and being dragged around. You wonder if there's a lot of conversations going on where there's not enough rookies to go around for all the teams.
Yeah, I've got the full list here. So if you think there's only 6 races to go and every team has to not just have one, but 2 times each year, so they replace both drivers. So Mercedes have done it once, where Nick DeVries replaced Hamilton in France. Red Bull have done it once, where Perez was replaced by Vips in Spain. Ferrari haven't done it yet, but we know Schwartzman will be in America. Don't know who replacing yet. McLaren haven't done it yet. Alpine haven't done one yet. They're going to have Piastri. Awkward.
You think Alpine would hurry that up if they're trying to like just get Doohan in the car or something and just see how he does?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that was going to be Piastri for a few after the summer break, but nope. Which is another thing. If he wasn't getting the start before the summer break, no wonder he decided to jog off to McLaren. If he's like, where's my FP1 seat? Mm. Anyway, Aston Martin have only done it once with Nick De Vries last time out.
Can you do AlphaTauri, it with the same driver?
Yeah, twice? Yeah, you can. Yeah. Okay. So De Vries for every team. AlphaTauri, Belgian Grand Prix replaced Pierre Gasly. Alfa Romeo haven't done it yet because they like to put Robert Kubica in for like five or six things, and he doesn't qualify because he's done nearly 100 races. And Williams have actually will have done it because Nick De Vries did Spain, replacing Albon, and Logan Sargeant will be replacing Latifi in America. Oh, and sorry, there's also Haas, who haven't done it because they put Giovinazzi in, who doesn't qualify. It really is going to be Abu Dhabi, and it's just going to be all rookie, both cars, the whole grid.
We're going to see the young driver test in the actual Grand Prix
in FP1, yeah. That'd be brilliant.
What's the penalty if a team don't do it?
Don't know.
Disqualification.
Disqualified from the World Championship.
Oh, maybe that's how Max will lose the title.
That's how Max will lose the title. Yeah, he's not done it yet.
You just know if Ferrari were winning, they'd forget, and that's how Ferrari would lose it. good stuff. Right, yeah, so Robert Schwartzman, is that exciting? I don't know. I feel like he's taken quite a few years to really do anything in Formula 2. Of course, he was kind of fighting, wasn't he, Schumacher and Ilott for the title? But
I thought he was quite exciting early on.
Yeah, same.
And It's strange that he's, well, I guess it's Ferrari giving him the seat. But if you'd have asked me this in 2020, I'd have been like, yes. Because he won the Formula 3 title. And then in 2020, he finished fourth in the title as a rookie, alongside, obviously, the year that Schumacher won it. When I think Schwartzman was really impressive that season. He was had a bit of bad luck, and I think he would have got the seat personally if Mick Schumacher's surname wasn't Schumacher. But I thought he was the better driver. But unfortunately, that was 2020. It's now the end of 2022, and I think it's a shame that his career never it hasn't gone the way I thought it would, because he looked like a really promising prospect. But I'd be amazed unless he rocks up and tops FP1 by 40 seconds that he's ever going to really get a Formula 1 seat.
Yeah, me neither. It is a shame, as you say. He was impressive to begin with, but just tailed off. And I think if he'd won that Formula 2 title, maybe he would have got the seat over Schumacher, but with Schumacher's surname as well. Because it did always seem like Schwartzman was the one trying to be fast-tracked by Ferrari all the way through to get a seat, at least at Haas. He was in a lot of discussions, yeah, and rumours about moving to Haas, but it never happened. Right, one final thing we need to reflect on, and it was Monza. There was a lot of fan experiences. If you've seen our YouTube video, you'll know exactly what we're talking about, where Monza was an absolute disgrace for fans.
Awful.
I've seen so many comments saying it was the worst motorsport experience, potentially even experience in general, going to an event that they've ever had. Now, Monza have put out a statement, which I'm going to read to you right now. Autodromo Nazionale Monza expresses its regret for the inconvenience of those who, among the many fans who flocked to the last Italian GP, encountered some inconveniences. The structure and its people put their best efforts to create an event that surpassed all previous attendance records. For Autodromo Nazionale Monza, the experience of the fans is a priority aspect. That's BS. And for this reason, a rigorous verification has been started, also with the partners, to ascertain and investigate the origin of any critical issues and take the consequent measures so that this does not happen again in the future. I'm sorry, but that is a ridiculously pathetic excuse for an apology. Like, if you actually looked at what the infrastructure was that they put in place for an extra 100,000 people,
170, so I think it was 170,000 extra people.
They knew from day one that was going to be that's like fire festival type vibes. You know what I mean? Like, people were queuing for hours to get water. There were 20 to 30 minute queues for toilets. There was, like, everywhere you went, there was queues. They had a token system in place so they can control the prices, where you all had to queue up massively long, 1 or 2 hours potentially, to get tokens. You then had to join another queue to buy food and drink. People were having their bottles of water confiscated from them as they entered the arena, the venue. I think it was advertised they could bring in anything under a litre, but they had people being taken off them, anything over 500 mil, I think it was. They had to have the bottle caps taken off. People were having their power banks confiscated, which makes absolutely no sense. Well, actually, it does, because the reason they take it off them is because
official branded ones. Yeah,
they can hire them, rent them, buy them, whatever, in the venue. Like, the treatment of fans at Monza sounds like it was absolutely awful. And that's one of the reasons why we made that video, is that there's no way they've done this event and gone, wow, we didn't expect that many people. They ticketed. They know how many people are turning up. You could see, for example, entrances. I saw someone say it took them 6 hours to get to their seat from where they joined the circuits. They missed pretty much everything. There was so many people, and they had like 6 turnstiles for people to scan their tickets through and stuff. And you just go in, you knew from the get-go that this would have been terrible.
Yeah, all I see on TikTok is people posting their experiences of it at the moment. It shows that it's not just maybe like one tweet that's gone viral. Every time I go on TikTok, I'll see another video from a fan at Monza that's just like, this was my experience, documenting it, going, look, couldn't see, queued 6 hours for water, ended up just watching it in the fan zone, but the TV was broken anyway. It sounds absolutely awful. I mean, I'm going to show my age here because people think I'm 20, but I'm actually, yeah, boomer alert, here we go. But when I went to Formula One as a kid with my dad in sort of like mid 2000s-y era, the general admission, like old school circuits have general admission, right? That it's always been that way. And I remember going to Monaco and like Monza and stuff with my dad, and we had to get there at 7 o'clock in the morning, and to get a good view, you had to stand at the front, and a lot of the time you couldn't really leave because you'd lose your spot. The problem is, it's all right saying that that's the case, but back then there wasn't an extra 150,000 people. So even if you did turn up a little later, you could still see the track. Or, you know, we were allowed to take a cool box in with loads of water and refreshments, and we could sit there all day and it wasn't quite such a slog. It shouldn't be a case where you have to get there at 6 in the morning, you're not allowed any water, so as soon as you leave, you lose your spot, and you don't, because you need to have a drink at some point during the day. It's really hot as well. And you can't just sell tickets to a circuit and go, yeah, we'll probably get this many people in. And then one of the bits where you stand to watch is behind a grandstand. It's absolutely ridiculous. And yeah, it's awful that there's no statement from Formula One themselves, but Monza, this is the thing, it all comes on the circuits that have to do it. And they've sold all these tickets because of F1's booming popularity, and they can't cope with it. And they've not done enough either. And this statement, just calling it an inconvenience, is an absolute joke, because I know people that have paid a small fortune, that was their holiday and their dream to go to Monza, and it sounds like Fyre Festival. It sounds like an absolutely awful experience, because you pay all that money for a ticket and you can't even see anything.
You do wonder if there's a hidden agenda here where Formula One go, well, Monza, you aren't capable of hosting this Grand Prix, we'll go and have another one in America. Because if the infrastructure is in place, it's absolutely possible. Silverstone, for example, yeah, it was busy, but it was manageable, and you didn't feel like you couldn't get food or drink anywhere or stuff like that. It was capable of hosting record attendance and all that good stuff. But Monza have just kept the same infrastructure. They've, like, they're relying on fans to build log like piles of logs so people can to see. Stand on the logs to see over the barrier. As you say, there was a grandstand, I think it was a general admission viewing area, which was on the main straight, and it was behind a grandstand. So all you could see was a pocket of a car going through, and there's no screens either. There's no screens for general admission. So you can't, you don't know what's going on. That's what a lot of people said. So a lot of people had to
Like a tannoy or anything.
No screens. People had to resort to going to the fan zone and watching it on the screen with no commentary.
Yeah. I also saw even like small things. I saw someone today, they'd posted a video of the fan zone that was still being constructed, and it looked pretty crappy, like still being constructed while they were there, essentially. And they had the driver's parade cars out, and just, you know, that really cheap red and white ticker tape kind of to stop you going in a certain area, just that around the cars. And you just think, like, it just screams on a budget, charging fans an extortionate rate and doing it the cheapest possible thing, like not hiring security, not doing all this. And like you say, it fits Formula One that they can just go, yeah, Mons can't handle this, we'll just do another race that can. And the problem is that Formula One can just sit there, look at Monza's statement while Monza's getting all the blame, and they can just go at the end of the year, record Formula One attendance. We've made £7 billion in profit this year. And you think, great. And all these, you know, these poor fans that have essentially had a terrible time, they need to start thinking about how they handle it rather than just going, yeah, Formula One's really popular, let's sell. And then just have a graphic on the screen that's look how great the attendance is. Not good enough.
And I particularly feel for Monza fans. I know there has been problems over the season as well at places like Barcelona, and having to walk 40 minutes to the track, and there's not been particular openings for on the where the circuit is. So you have to walk even further, and massive queues. They were running out of water on Friday. Things like that, where you just go, geez, you know, there needs to be a ramp up here. You can't just have a growth of a sport and expect everything to be exactly the same in terms of what you offer fans. But I particularly feel for people in Monza, because I know a lot of people were traveling to, you know, tick off something on their bucket list, go to Monza, experience the Tifosi. And what they're being made to do is build log piles to stand on them, to have a little peer over to see, oh, that's a car. Don't know who that is, really. There's no screen, no idea what's going on. And they're paying more than they ever have before for Formula One tickets as well. So you're paying more, you're getting less. Not happy at all. So yeah, there you go. That's a reflection on that. And if you were one of those fans that went, we are truly sorry that you had to experience that. It really does sound awful, and it's a shame, because I've always wanted to go to Monza as well as a fan and really enjoy it.
Seeing
these experiences, you go, well, until they prove that there is better infrastructure in place, you don't really want to go. So yeah, Tommy, final thoughts.
I guess the other thing is, I've seen some stuff about Silverstone yesterday as well, having ticket problems, and there's chaos there, and charging extra for tickets when people had already got them locked in place. And this is the thing, like Formula One themselves need to have some kind of meeting or something with the circuits to put in place the demand for the popularity, because it's happened overnight and nothing's changed, especially in these old school circuits like Monza, where nothing will have changed since the 90s, but you're going to have double the amount of people there. And yeah, something needs to change. So I do hope that Formula One themselves say something, but I'm not holding my breath.
Me neither, because I think we'd run out of air. But there you go. Thank you everybody for listening to this little weekly news update / rant. Of course, as we say, no races for a couple of weeks, but we still will be here. We're going to be live on Twitch, I think, early next week, and doing some things with you over there as well. So yeah, stay tuned for the next podcast as always, and hashtag WTF1 podcast if you want to get involved in the discussion or ask any questions, and leave us a 5 stars if you thought that you were enjoying what you were hearing in your ears and the voice notes that we're making. Yeah, there you go. Thank you, everybody. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.